He had prayed for what God had promised. He had certainly prayed with clarity, with precision, and with passion, fervently. But the answer was not immediately given even to Elijah. Let that be an encouragement to you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and Colin, I got to say, that is kind of encouraging because sometimes I feel like my prayers are not answered right away.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's when we get tempted to give up. You know, I've asked the Lord for this a number of times. There'll be folks listening to us today, Steve, who have been praying for 20 years or perhaps more than that, perhaps for the conversion of a son or a daughter. And it just gets discouraging sometimes. And Elijah's perseverance is a wonderful encouragement. You know, when Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, the tense in which he said these things is ask and go on asking, seek and go on seeking, knock and go on knocking. Jesus says to us, we ought always to pray and never give up. Now, I want to give an encouragement in that regard. If you've been praying for a long time and you have not yet seen the answer, then today hear the word of God as an encouragement to you not to give up. Elijah did not give up, and he received a wonderful answer to prayer from the Lord.
Well, that is encouraging. And with that, let's continue today's message. It's called Prayer 101 from 1 Kings chapter 18. Here's Pastor Colin.
I want to offer to you today 7 observations from this story. And unusually, we don't usually do it this way, but they happen all to begin with the letter P. We don't often have an alliterative outline for a message. We do today. So here are 7 P's of effective prayer. And I put them into a sentence that I hope might be useful to you. And it's simply this: position yourself in private to pray what God has promised with precision and with passion and with persistence. And I know some of you are going through counting up. There are indeed 7 words that begin with the letter P in that sentence. We'll touch on all of them, though not in the same order. Let's begin here. Elijah prayed for what God had said he would do. And there's a principle here that we can apply to our own prayers, and it's simply this: to cultivate the practice of praying what God has promised. Now, I want to encourage you in that today, to cultivate the practice of praying for what God has promised. And here's how you do that. You use the Bible to fuel your prayers. When you go into your room and you close the door, take your Bible with you. Pray with an open Bible. And as you read the Bible, turn what you are reading in the Bible, what God is saying to you, turn it back to Him in your prayers. You will find this wonderfully refreshing for your prayer life. So I give you an example. I was reading from Daniel and chapter 12 and verse 3. Just this verse, in reading through a few verses from Daniel. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness shall be like the stars forever and forever. So that little verse that just popped out of the first part of Daniel in chapter 12, reading these few verses, is telling me a couple of very important things. That God wants his people to be wise, and that God wants his people to turn many to righteousness, for them to have influence. There are 2 things that I can pray in regards to myself, because I can think immediately of situations in which I really need wisdom, and I can think of situations in which I long to be an influence in helping someone find a right path. I can see ways in which I need that in my own life. Then I begin to pray for others. I think of some missionaries. I think of folks within the family. I think of others who are on my prayer list at a particular time. And here are 2 things that are going to apply in all kinds of different ways into their sphere and give me something fresh to pray. And then tomorrow or the next day, as I pray for some folks again, there's something else in the scripture that I read. And it provides fresh fuel for prayer. To begin to pray fresh things in relation to the Word of God, to pray back what God has said. See, otherwise, how do you pray for people faithfully for 20 years, just saying, God bless them, God bless them, God bless them? You run dry, don't you? You need fuel. And the Word of God is going to be the fuel for your prayers. Think of it this way: engines run better when there is fuel in the tank, right? If you think about starting up one of your small engines, make sure there is fuel in the tank before you start the engine. The fuel of the engine of prayer is the Word of God. Put the fuel of the Word of God in the tank before you crank up the engine of prayer. And it will help you and it will refresh your prayer and it will give you a way of responding to the Word of God as you bring it back to Him in prayer. So I'm saying position yourself in private to pray what God has promised. Work on this week. See how you do with letting the scriptures be fuel for your prayer and see how it brings freshness to you. Look for one thing that you could say, I could pray that for myself and for others. Number four, position yourself in private to pray what God has promised. As soon as we talk about what God has promised, the question that obviously arises is, well, if God has already said a thing, why do I need to pray it? If God has already made a promise, what is the purpose of prayer? And that question will have occurred to you, I'm sure, as it occurs sometime to almost every Christian. And the answer actually is very, very simple. It is that God decrees not only what will happen, but also how it will come about. God determines not only ends, but He also determines the means by which they happen. The what is the promise of God, but the how involves our prayers. So far from making our prayers redundant, God's promises tell us what we should ask. They direct us with regards to our asking. A.W. Pink puts this very beautifully. This is, I think, a quote that's well worth writing down and remembering. He says, God's promises are the mold into which our prayers are cast. That's beautiful. Here's this mold, and the mold is the promise of God. And I'm to cast my prayers into that mold. We've just described how that might be done as you bring the scriptures as the fuel into your praying. God's promises tell us what we should ask for. And here is the greatest encouragement, surely, in relation to our praying, that God has willed, what God has willed in His promise, He brings into effect through your prayers. That brings huge significance to this wonderful ministry of prayer that is open to every Christian believer and is God's calling to you as well as to me today. Number five, position yourself in private to pray for what God has promised with precision. With precision. And I'm drawing this observation from James in chapter 5, where we're told that Elijah prayed very precise prayers. He prayed that it might not rain. That's a devastating prayer to pray, but it couldn't have been clearer. Then James says he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. So Elijah was very clear in what he asked God for. Are you clear in what you are asking God for? What would be three things that you are asking God for at this time? What are you asking God for yourself? What are you asking God in relation to the church? What are you asking God for in relation to the advance of the gospel, which is at the center of the vision that we pray for together? Is it clear? It's a good thing, by the way, when you have prayed and you finish praying, you get up, you go through, you make yourself a cup of coffee, and then ask yourself this question, what did I ask of God today? Can you answer that question? Many of you, I'm sure, get bombarded with emails. Is there anyone here thinks they get too many emails? I have an agreement on that. Yeah, I get lots of emails, and you have to find a way of sorting them, you know? And one of the things that I just find very useful is to distinguish between emails that need a response from me and others that are simply information. And obviously, when you make that distinction, you go with the ones that need a particular response, and you deal with the ones that are simply information at a later time. Now, think about that in relation to prayer. Don't send up prayers to heaven that are information only. You know that kind of prayer. Lord, you know this, and you know he's been there, and she's been here, and you know this. Yes, he knows. He doesn't need the information. Offer prayers that ask for a response. Offer prayers where there is something that you are looking for God to do. He has said to you, ask. Jesus said on more than one occasion, he said to a blind man, and then he also said to James and John, he asked this great question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus Christ were to appear before you today and to ask you that question, what would you say? What do you want me to do for you? And I guess most of us might come up with an immediate answer, someone that we want in our family circle to come to faith, or someone who has a great illness, and we would ask for them, and then Jesus would say yes, but what do you want me to do for you? Karen and I took a trip a while back around Lake Michigan and up to Lake Superior with two dear friends, and we got into a conversation in the van about that question, the four of us. What would you say to Jesus Christ if he were to say to you today, what do you want me to do for you? And that conversation took us all the way from Lake Huron to Lake Superior. It is a harder question to answer than you may think. And when you come up with an answer, then ask yourself the question, is that really the most important thing? Jesus said to a blind man, what do you want me to do for you? You think the answer is obvious. He's a blind man. He wants to see. But you see, is that really the biggest thing? Was there something bigger that that man could have asked of the Savior of the world? And when you've been in heaven for 10,000 million years, will the thing that seems biggest to you now seem the biggest thing to you then? What do you want me to do for you? Be specific in your ask, but ask. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. I'm in the presence of someone with great resources, I will ask. What will you ask in the presence of the King of Kings?
All right, we're going to continue our alliteration and look at two more P's of prayer coming up in just a moment, so stay with us. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Prayer 101. It's part of our series, The Surprising Influence of a Godly Life, where we're taking a look at the story of Elijah. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which is free. You'll find that at your app store, and then you can connect with Pastor Colin's teaching whenever it fits your schedule. Again, look for the Open the Bible app at your app store, or come and listen through our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Number 6, position yourself in private to pray what God has promised with precision, but also with passion. And I take that from James chapter 5 and verse 17, where we're told that Elijah prayed fervently. He prayed fervently. Literally translated, the words there are, in prayer he prayed. He prayed fervently. In prayer he prayed. It's a very helpful little phrase. It's actually a Hebraism, a Hebrew way of speaking. When Jesus spoke to the disciples about the Passover, he said, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you. Literally what he said was, with desire I have desired to eat the Passover. Isn't that beautiful? With desire I desire this fellowship with you. And the same form is here. Elijah, in prayer he prayed. In prayer he prayed. He didn't just say a prayer. In prayer he prayed. He prayed fervently. In other words, there was life, there was energy, there was faith, there was engagement in his prayer. It is easy for the best Christian to fall into a kind of spiritual drowsiness. in which we pray with little life and little energy and little desire, and there is little power in such prayer. Elijah's prayer was different. He prayed with life and with vigor. He prayed fervently. In prayer he prayed. Someone wrote these words. I found them helpful. I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down to gods of wood and stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayer is not sincere. So, Lord, teach me what I need, and teach me how to pray, and do not let me seek thy grace, not meaning what I say. Number 7. Position yourself in private to pray what God has promised with precision and with passion and with persistence. And I take this obviously from verse 44, when we're told that it was the 7th time that Elijah sent his servant before he saw the cloud that was just the size of a man's hand on the horizon. And that speaks to us about Elijah's perseverance in prayer. He had prayed for what God had promised. He had certainly prayed with clarity, with precision, and with passion, fervently. But the answer was not immediately given even to Elijah. Let that be an encouragement to you. He sends his servant, here's Elijah, and he's rolled up like a ball, and he's praying, and he's interceding, and he's pleading the promise of God. And he sends his servant to the brow of the hill where he can look out down over the horizon and out to sea as you can from Mount Carmel. And he looks out and he comes back and he says, there's nothing. There's not the sign of a cloud. Just like it's been for 3.5 years. Elijah prays some more, says to the servant, you go again, have another look. The guy goes running off to the horizon, has another look. It's exactly the same. He comes back. Elijah, there's still nothing. Elijah says, well, you better go running again. Elijah carries on praying. The guy goes on running. He comes back. The 4th time, he knows what Elijah's going to say. He's nearly exhausted running. And then the 5th time, then the 6th time. Some of you have been praying with passion, with fervor, with precision, for someone or something that deeply burdens your heart, and you're not on the 6th time, nor on the 60th time, nor even on the 600th time. And you're beginning to wonder, will this ever happen? And you wonder if there's any point. And the word of the Lord Jesus comes to you afresh through the scriptures today. You remember he said this to his disciples, that we ought always to pray and never give up. And thank God that Elijah didn't give up on the 4th or the 5th or even the 6th time. His servant goes the 7th time as the great man is there rolled up on the ground interceding. And he sees a little cloud the size of a man's hand, just a little mist. And he comes back and he tells Elijah, well, there hasn't even been a little bit of mist that's been seen for the last 3.5 years. And then verse 45, we read, in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. So, dear friends, here are 7 P's of effective prayer. We see them on the screen. Maybe you'd like to say them together with me. Position yourself in private to pray what God has promised with precision and with passion and with persistence. And what we're learning from Elijah is that this kind of praying avails much. Lives were changed through this kind of praying from Elijah. And lives will be changed through this kind of praying for you, because God ordains not only the ends but also the means. And your praying plays a part in the bringing about of the very purposes of God here and around the world, because we are God's fellow workers. Just one more thing before we're through, and it's simply this. James tells us one more thing about Elijah, that he was a righteous man. And he tells us that it is the prayer of a righteous man that is powerful and is effective. That does not mean, of course, that Elijah was perfect. He certainly wasn't. We're going to see next week, God willing, that he came to a point where he didn't even see any point in his own life. And maybe some of you have been there. And yet, this man, who at one point became so low, is held up to us as the model for our praying. So you say, how was he righteous? How was he righteous? Matthew Henry says this beautifully, he who prays must be a righteous man. Not righteous in an absolute sense, but righteous in a gospel sense. I love that. What that means is simply this. Everything that we've said about prayer today, we've got to write over the top of it, in Christ. In Christ. Effective prayer only happens in Christ. It happens as your sins are washed. It happens as you hunger and thirst after righteousness. It happens as God's Holy Spirit fills you. God will accept you before he accepts your prayer. So you must offer yourself to him before you offer your prayer to him. The order is important. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit and to renew your heart. Tell him that you're tired of the sins that have been clinging to you for so long. Ask him to clothe you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that as one who follows him, you may be effective in the ministry of prayer. And then in Christ, position yourself in private to pray the promises of God with precision and with passion and with persistence.
What a great reminder that in Christ, we need to position ourselves in private to pray what God has promised with precision, passion, and persistence. Our message is called Prayer 101, and it is part of a larger series called The Surprising Influence of a Godly Life, taking a look at the life and the story of Elijah. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. While you're there, when you visit the store, you'll see the entire series available on CD. That's another great way that it might be convenient for you to listen to the series as we look at the story of Elijah from the book of 1 Kings. You're going to find the store and the series, The Surprising Influence of Godly Life, at our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. Ripple will be on the station each day and bring you Pastor Colin's teaching because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we would love to send you a book called The Fight. It is written by John White. And Colin, can you give us an example or a sample of what's in this book?
Well, the first thing would be the style in which it's written. It really is like the wise counsel of a loving father. It is warm in the way that it's expressed, and it's very practical in taking us through what it means to live the Christian life. So, for example, in his chapter on prayer, which I think is just outstanding, he gives several principles as to how we can grasp God's will in prayer. For example, he says it's always God's will that we praise him. It's always God's will that we open up the longings of our hearts and speak to him, tell him how it is. It's always, he says, God's will that we pray for our enemies. He applies that scripture really powerfully. He says it's always God's will that when we don't know what his will is, we should ask. Really practical. Wisdom given in a warm and a fatherly way. Anyone who reads this book is going to be helped to grow in the Christian life.
Well, again, the name of the book, The Fight. And we'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Or come to our website, openthebible.org. Again, the phone number is 1-877-673-6365, and our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Whatever you've experienced and whatever you may be going through, you'll find someone in the Bible who has been through something like it. Find out what happened when darkness came over Elijah's soul. That's next time. on Open the Bible.